This is Lynn Benton Tractor's Newsmakers with Brent DeHart and Dave Bourne. Presented by Les Schwab Tires and sponsored in part by Furbish, a salvage place, and Kennedy Tax Solutions. Live, local talk that matters to you. Now, here's Brent and Dave from the Capital Auto Group Studios, exclusively on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
What?
And welcome to Newsmakers, folks.
Yes, we are live and we are in person right now at the Northwest Agricultural Show
in the
Columbia Hall building. That's where we are. And boy, I tell you, there's some cool machines here.
I think we venture to say we're the least interesting thing in the building.
You think?
Yeah, this place is so cool. There's so many cool things out here. Welcome, everyone. This is Brent DeHart with Dave Bourne. It is fun to be out here and be live. I love agriculture.
But you have a farm, kind of.
And to be out here, actually, I like all the things that happen out here. There's so many cool things that happen in the Jackman Long Building, and we're in the Columbia Building here in the fairgrounds. It's a pretty good asset.
Yeah.
Sometimes we don't love being the state capital for politics reasons or this or that, but other times it's just really cool to have this asset here and have the state fairgrounds. And, of course, it's all about ag next couple of days, and there are some amazing toys out here.
Yeah, the show's going on until about 7 or so tonight. They have seminars going on as well over at the Jackman Long Building. And they also have kind of a shortened day tomorrow, 9 to about 2, I think it is, tomorrow. But there's free parking, free entry. Come in and check it out.
Yeah, I was surprised, actually. I came in about a half hour ago, and there's a lot of people wandering the aisles and looking at implements, looking at plants, looking at technology, looking at lighting, all sorts of things, and right in the middle of the day. And there's a lot of pickup trucks out there.
Yeah,
there's a
you
pickup.
Want to see the collection. They're right outside.
I thought this was a pickup truck-only section for a second.
Did you drive yours today?
Yeah, you bet.
Good.
I just added it to the list.
I had to drive the company van just to kind of fit in a little bit because my Camaro didn't fit in yesterday.
Well, folks, this is the hour, the noon hour, that you get to listen to local talk from Marion and Polk counties, both of which large agricultural powerhouses, of course, in the state. And today we're going to do it for 2 hours.
Right.
We're going to go 2 hours live here at the fairgrounds. Come on by and say hello. And we've got a lineup of speakers to talk to you about the agricultural industry, the making of food in the Mid-Valley and so forth. And actually, possibly a little bit of politics having to do with it as well.
Maybe. A little bit.
Speaking of politics, we got a couple minutes here in our first segment.
Okay.
Can I touch on something we didn't hit earlier in the week?
Oh, sure. Save a moment or two for you.
A moment or two. So SEDCOR did a forum last week. It was quite interesting. SEDCOR is the Economic Development Corporation, for those of you unfamiliar. And their job basically is to promote and help employers, build their businesses and stay in the area and employ people and so forth. Anyway, they did a nice forum. The guest speaker is Rocky Dallum. And he was talking about the legislature.
Oh, boy.
It was that comment about anytime I mention the word politics and we got the legislature coming to town next month, already in town, but going into session next month. Pretty interesting. It was somewhat amusing in a frightening sort of way in terms of what do we have to look forward to, right? In that regard. And he puts up, these are the top five. I'm paraphrasing a little bit, but these are the top five priorities coming out of the legislature. And three of them were carbon. Three of them are.
Wow.
He's like, well, there's carbon, and as in cap and trade.
Mm-hmm.
Then there's carbon, and then there's carbon, and then there's taxation, and there's carbon or whatever.
Nice.
So it's just like, this is it. And it's exactly why, Senator Thatcher is saying, maybe we shouldn't do the February session. Because they're coming in with huge public policy issues, probably the largest in the state legislature right now, and they're going to ram it into a session that's theoretically supposed to just handle the budget.
And cross the, T's and dot the I's, basically,
right,
on other stuff that was passed, right?
Right. Clean things up, make corrections, and handle the adjustments to the budget. But no, the largest public policy discussion in the whole area. And you think it doesn't involve agriculture. It's absolutely going to intersect with
agriculture. Oh, yeah. House Bill 2020 and 207, something like that.
Yeah. And now that bill has turned into a legislative concept. So it's an LC now instead of an HB. instead of a House
really?
Bill. It's a legislative concept, 19.
What does that mean?
It means it's a draft. It's a draft. They put
a
it
draft
together.
Of what?
Of a new bill. It'll be once it's introduced from a legislative concept into a submitted bill, it'll get a House bill or a Senate bill number. But it's the, you know, it's the sun of 2020,
mm-hmm.
and they're playing politics, and they're trying to dissuade some of the competition. People who are opposed to it, like, say, every Republican senator,
mm-hmm.
as we remember the walkout from last year, and try to overcome objections, make some changes so it can pass.
Okay.
I don't know. I'm not too optimistic about it. I mean, read about it in the papers in the Salem Reporter this week that Republicans are not ruling out that they'll walk out again.
Wow.
They'll walk out of the building again. It's just like, we're not going to pass this in this short session, and maybe not ever, at least not with our help. So that was pretty interesting. Let me give some credit. Rocky works for Tonkin Torp. Tonkin Torp. Yeah, T-O-R-P. And he does some lobbying and attorney work, legal services and things like that. But he was the guest speaker. He did say... This was really interesting to me that most people were not familiar with the cap and trade or tax and swindle, as Sam Brentano likes to say.
It's true.
Right? They didn't know that much about it. And one thing that the walkout did is it put it in the top of the news cycle every day for what, 9 days?
At least 11 days? Yeah.
Throughout the whole thing. And it made people pay attention.
Yep.
And then we saw the rally at the Capitol. You were there on site.
Right. We talked to her yesterday.
Trucks and tractors and what have you. So it really heightened, and it gave an opportunity, heightened people's ability to pay attention. It really heightened the awareness and inspired people to action that aren't otherwise sometimes inspired to go do some, you know, political lobbying kind of thing.
Because we've talked about this before where, you know, the legislature does things and people are like, oh, I can't really affect some change. I can't do this, can't do that. They don't feel like they have a voice.
Mm-hmm.
So they don't really get involved. This.
Ooh, it fired people up.
Yeah, it really fired people up. And people drove in from around the state to bring attention to this.
And now we're faced with another awareness issue. I was really surprised. He said that in the fall, this is Rocky Dallum speaking at SEDCOR, only a third of the people that were polled knew about the corporate activities tax. Now, the newsmaker audience knows about it.
Yes.
Right? And corporate activities tax.
Uh-huh.
This thing has
too many
names. Commercial activities tax, he would call it. The politicians called it the Student Success Act. But only in the fall, it's already been passed, and it's the law of the land. And suddenly it's going to be, you know, this taxation's coming up. He said, now it's the first of the year, and a lot more people are aware. Because they're talking to their accountants now and preparing for their taxes. And the rules are still being set. It's one of those things where legislatures and policymakers put it into motion, but then the Oregon Department of Revenue needs to decipher it. What does it mean and how we're going to collect it and things like that. I'm told that we need to start paying it monthly or quarterly this year, even though the tax won't be levied, you know, for the 2020 year. Right?
Until next year.
Yeah. So, and then you have to guess?
Yeah.
What your sales are going to be and guess what your expenses are going to It's very, man, what a complex
That's a lot
mess.
Of guessing.
Yeah. By the way, folks, only 4 states have a tax like this. There were 3 others. Oregon has never taxed its citizenry like this, but now they are.
Of course. We have to be 1 of 4.
Yep.
All right.
Other things coming up before we go to break, prevailing wage for private projects. Hopefully, maybe we'll have time to talk about that tomorrow. And economic development. Interesting stuff. I want to thank SEDCOR for doing that,
for bringing the
conversation to the public. And if you don't sign up for those, see if you can get the mailing list and attend. Good stuff. Hey, we're going to take a break. We got a lot of people to talk to at the Northwest Ag Show.
Right.
Hey,
that's where we are.
We got a full 2 hours, Dave. You ready?
I'm ready. Let's go.
Okay.
Let's go.
Let's take our first break and we'll come back. This is Brent DeHart and Dave Bourne at the Northwest Ag Show in Columbia Hall at the fairgrounds. We'll be right back on 1430 KYKN.
Now back to Lynn Benton Tractor's Newsmakers with Brent DeHart and Dave Bourne. Presented by Les Schwab Tires, live from the Northwest Ag Show. On 1430 KYKN, Salem is listening.
This segment of Newsmakers is proudly brought to you by Sylvan Learning Center. Welcome back to the Northwest Agricultural Show. Brent and I are sitting in the Columbia Hall building right now. You can even come in and stand in front and listen. We have a speaker that's broadcasting our broadcast out here in the building. Lots of things to check out and lots of things to do. And the man that knows it all is here with us, Joe Beach from the Capital Press. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
Welcome, Joe. It's nice to meet you. So the Capital Press is, I imagine not everybody in the listening audience is familiar with you guys and what you do. Certainly most people in the building probably are. But in a sentence or two, how would you describe to anybody who just plopped down to the area what the Capital Press is?
Well, the Capital Press is the premier provider of agricultural news in the Northwest.
In the Northwest. So what's your footprint?
400,000 square miles of Washington, Oregon, Idaho, and Northern California.
Oh, so just 400,000 square miles.
Just 400,000 square miles.
Okay. Is there one publication that handles that, or is there get little regional publications for Eastern Oregon and Northern California and so forth?
Well, there's one print publication that handles that, and then we also have a 24/7 wire or web presence.
Well, tell me, Joe, why is there a need for a publication specifically for the industry?
Well, it's like any other industry. There's just news that impacts specifically farmers. Thank you. And so, you know, you won't find this kind of news in most regular newspapers, most community newspapers, and you certainly won't find the kind of information that the farmers want specifically about these issues, like water, natural resource issues, lots of stuff about the wolves in Eastern Oregon, anything to do with crops, marketing, and economics specifically towards agriculture. That's what we do.
Regulations, taxation.
A lot of regulations, a lot of taxation, that kind of thing.
A few politics, perhaps. even economic things having to do with trade, you know, obviously.
Very much trade, very much economics.
What about transportation, John? Well, it seems like in terms of having a transportation network, it very much affects you guys if you don't have a robust rail system
very much rail. Certainly is a big thing. Barge traffic on the Columbia and the Snake River system is a big thing. International trade, getting things to the ports and then on container ships and getting them over to Asia, that's a big part of what we cover as well.
Sometimes people take for granted that we're in this agricultural valley and they really don't know how vast all of these things are, you know, implicated in terms. This is a big, big deal. It's not like, oh, well, we grow some of these berries and we can buy them here fresh. It's like transportation, economy, jobs,
sure,
international trade, regulations, all of those things send ripples through your industry.
Agriculture is the second largest segment of the Oregon economy. And it touches just about everything. And certainly if you do go up and down the valley, you see the vastness of it.
Well, let's talk about your show a little bit. Because Capital Press, you guys put on this show.
We put on the show. We've owned the show for a couple of years now. This is the second show that we've produced here at the fairgrounds.
And before that?
Before that, it was at the Portland Expo Center for a number of years.
Oh.
And it actually originated here in Columbia Hall 50 years ago.
Wow. Wow. So it's full circle and back home to roost.
Right. It outgrew this building, and then it had several different locations and then settled at the Expo Center for a number of years. It's a huge facility up there, difficult to get to, difficult to get out of. And over the years, attendance at the show and just participation in the show up there dwindled because of that difficulty.
Yeah, I don't know about you, David. I think of our areas being a lot more ag-centered than Portland, the metro.
Well, yeah, kind of the center of the state almost, and people can easily get here.
So you draw people from all over, right?
Well, we draw people from all over. I know that we have people who are exhibiting and who have come down from Washington and from Idaho just to be at the show. I would say that a lot of the attendance obviously comes from right here in the valley.
Mm-hmm. So we want to make sure we do this while we have you here for this segment. Is there's always an underwriting sponsors that help make this thing work. So obviously, let's give them their kudos, would you?
Very much so. I'd like to, our major sponsor is Harvest Capital Company. And they were in yesterday to talk with you.
Yeah.
Also, Kubota Tractor Company, Coastal Farm and Ranch. Have to thank also the Oregon State Fairgrounds. They're a big sponsor. We couldn't do this without any of those folks.
That is great. It's Harvest Capital, you said?
Harvest Capital.
Those are the money people.
They are in the farm loan mortgage business, yes.
Okay. Yeah. I mean, it's a specialty. I know a lot of banks, not a lot, but several banks around do, but agricultural lending is definitely a very specific
very, very much
skill.
So.
Yeah.
I'd also like to say that we have some other sponsors, the Oregon FFA, and you'll see these guys around with the FFA jackets on, Oregon Ag Link, which is an organization that tries to help promote agriculture to the non-agricultural part of the state. They're very much involved too.
That is great. Tell us a little bit about you, Joe Beach. You are with the Capital Press, but what's your job?
I'm the editor and publisher of the Capital Press. I've been with the paper for 11 years now.
11 years?
11 years.
So I remember the Capital Press. I see them all the time when I was driving up and down, Broadway, right, in Salem?
Right, yeah.
That's not your location any longer.
That's not our location. We sold that building actually a year ago. Right now, we were moving to the new building as we were putting on the show last year.
So where do you call office home now?
We're still on Broadway, just on the other side of the parkway now in Salem.
Okay. All right, just right up the street on Broadway. So it is local. It's a local publication, and they're handling vital information to the agricultural industry throughout the Northwest, including that California. I call it California State, but just, the northern part.
Yeah.
We don't have to get into the Bay Area.
No. We don't need to spread down there too far.
What do you think is the most controversial thing facing your industry and agriculture? That'll be the most number of articles in the Capital Press this year will be about what?
Well, it seems sometimes just about everything's controversial. The cap and trade legislation that will come up at the legislature this year will certainly have a lot of ink. Water issues are always very high on the list. Issues concerning taking out Snake River dams. We have a lot of stories about that. Anything dealing with wolves.
Oh, yeah.
People are interested on both sides of the aisle on that. So
when it comes to the wolves, that has more to do with ranchers, does it not?
It does. Yeah. And obviously we aren't seeing that in the valley right now. We might someday soon. But it was certainly in eastern Oregon and even in the Cascades, there are active wolf packs right now.
Well, I wouldn't have thought that would be one of the more interesting topics, that affect the agriculture industry. But I get it because I live in the valley, right?
Right.
But, okay, so going back to cap and trade, this is a taxation, folks, on carbon use and so forth. Draw a straight line for the listener. How does this affect agriculture?
Well, if you look around the ag show, you'll see a lot of machines, and it just so happens they run on diesel. And so... very much impacted by cap and trade. Everything that everyone eats is transported by vehicle that's run by some kind of fuel, whether it's a train or a truck. So it is a large expense, and as energy becomes more expensive, it impacts farmers, and then eventually it will impact consumers.
So I totally get it's going to cost the farmer more to produce it if they're going to tax his diesel.
Right.
And it's going to tax the transportation sector to deliver it to our stores, right? And so I totally get that. What does it do as far as Oregon's competitiveness in the – because this is a global economy for agricultural goods, right?
Well, yeah, definitely. About 80% of what's produced in Oregon goes somewhere else, whether it's in the rest of the United States or overseas. So, yes, and it's transported. So I think it's difficult to say that, well, if the price of gas here goes up a certain amount, it makes us more or less competitive necessarily. However, it does make it much more difficult for individual farmers to keep keep going.
We're talking to Joe Beach of Capital Press, and Capital Press owns the Northwest Ag Show, where we are currently broadcasting from the Columbia Hall in Jackman Long. It does have a lot of cool tools in here.
There's a lot of cool stuff.
And I'm not a farmer per se. I'm not a farmer at all, really, other than I own a piece of property that's zoned agriculture. But even for a homeowner or somebody with a couple of acres, there is stuff in here to come see.
There certainly is. There's some small equipment here and things that, again, people that have a smaller property would be able to use.
Things having to do with irrigation, things having to do with plants, things having to do with fencing, things having to do with, you know, security, all sorts of, you know, garden.
And there are people at Kubota who have some smaller tractors that you can deal with. There's a guy out in the parking lot who has a portable sawmill that
wow.
You know, people might want. It's certainly cool.
Those portable sawmills are so cool.
Yeah.
And you could, if you've got trees on your property, you could lay the tree down and you can mill it yourself. And it's not even out of reach price-wise.
Oh, no.
By any means, I've seen those at the Polk County Fair, actually.
Yeah,
those
pretty
are
cool.
Very, very, if you've never seen one.
And he's sawing logs right now.
So, is he?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, Dave, I got to go.
Yeah. Wait a minute.
That'd be a fun thing to do.
I think this tractor over here would be good for your land, too, there.
Yes, that might be a bit of overkill.
Yes, you got to go overkill. Come on. It's got multiple things attached to it. It's got a, looks like you could pick up logs and things with the bucket.
Spoken
like. And then it's got a plow on the front. That's killer right there. Yeah,
everybody needs one,
I could.
Right? Joe, get out of my driveway.
Joe, I'm going to quote you on this. So I want to make sure I heard you correctly. 80% of agricultural output in Oregon goes elsewhere?
Yes.
Wow.
And it depends on, like, all the grass seed that's grown here, most of it's planted somewhere else when, you know, when it's finally harvested. All the wheat that's grown in, not all of it, but a lot of the wheat that's grown in eastern Oregon goes overseas, Japan and Korea. And so it isn't. Hardly any of it really is consumed in Oregon.
So interesting. It wasn't that long ago. I remember we were talking about the hops and that the small batch hops people didn't have product because all of it was already spoken for by large batch hops people. And they were growing it here, but were shipping it out of state.
Well, you'll see if you go up and down the valley, a lot of hazelnut trees, a lot of that goes to China. You know, so, yeah, it's big business.
All right. This is Brent DeHart with Dave Bourne. We're going to have to take a break. We're going to come back and talk to actually Brad Wilcox at Kubota and talk about all his toys.
Right. I can't wait.
We want to thank Joe Beach and Capital Press for putting on the show. Two whole buildings full of fun toys. And why don't you hang on, because we're going to be right back and come out and see us in the Northwest Ag Show at the State Fairgrounds. This is Brent DeHart with Dave Bourne, and you are listening to 1430 KYKN.
Len Benton Tractors Newsmakers, presented by Les Schwab Tires, continues. Here's Brent DeHart and Dave Bourne, live from the Northwest Ag Show on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
This is Rich Kansky, and this segment of Newsmakers is brought to you by Green Acres Landscape.
Thank you, Rich, and welcome back to the Northwest Agricultural Show. We're live in the Columbia Hall building. I'm Dave Bourne. He's Brent DeHart on my left. And joining us now is
Paul Thorpe.
Yep. Paul Thorpe, Polk County Farm Bureau.
So we've got the Oregon Farm Bureau. Sorry, I read my schedule wrong in the last segment.
Yes, you did.
We're going to have to talk to Brad at Kubota and talk about his toys next segment.
Yeah, nice.
But the time being, we're going to have a full 2 hours here. I know you usually tune in to get 1 hour of local talk on KYKN. Everything in Marion and Polk counties of interest, but today we've got 2 hours.
Yes, we do. And just a side note for programming, Bill O'Reilly will be on at 2:04.
Oh,
just to let
point
you
out.
Know. Just
all
to
right.
let you know.
So, welcome to the booth, Paul. Nice to have you.
Pleasure. Yeah.
So you're out here manning the booth, actually, your own booth for Oregon Farm Bureau.
Yes.
You're explaining before we came on during the break that you're a volunteer in this trade association.
Yes.
All right. So how long have you been doing that?
Probably 30 years.
Oh, well, so just a beginner, you don't know anything.
Yeah, that's about it.
I don't even know why you're sitting here. So tell us why there's a need for an Oregon Farm Bureau.
Well, we represent the natural resource community, mostly farmers, but ranchers, even timber and that type of thing. Our organization works a lot on all kinds of natural resource issues. And So we spent a lot of time in the Capitol and working with local people and things.
So you're spending time with a lot of legislators? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah. And local politicians, the county commissioners. We do a lot on the county level.
Oh, good. Those are good guys.
Yeah.
All right. So obviously advocacy then. You have to somewhat protect yourself. A lot of times going to the Capitol is a matter of playing some defense.
Mainly defense, yes.
Somebody has a good idea. That's my air quotes, everyone. Someone's got a good idea, and I think it's going to be great for somebody, but they don't realize the unintended consequences you might have to a whole industry.
Exactly.
Right?
Yeah. And we're a grassroots organization, and we use a policy manual that our lobbyists and things go by that they lobby for these issues. And that policy was developed by coming up from the grassroots level, the county level, and then we take it to the state level where all the state members get together and discuss it and work out what's best that will help the industry. And so we represent organic, commercial, large commercial, small farms, everything in the spectrum in between. But it's all kind of worked out so that we're protecting everybody. We're not just a commodity specific interest. And so we carry a lot of weight in the legislature.
Well, that's nice. Yeah. So to be clear, every county really has their own Farm Bureau.
Yeah.
Right? So you're from Polk County?
From Polk County.
And you're a farmer?
Yeah.
So what do you grow?
Well, we got produce, and rented some ground to a guy trying to grow some hemp. So that was kind of interesting. But
I hope he pays his bill.
Yeah. He's paid up, fortunately.
Oh, good.
It's been an interesting crop to
Let me ask you. We had this conversation yesterday about the hemp deal and the CBD oil. Some farmland was harvested for the hemp, and then others they left them to waste because they didn't have all their ducks in a row to harvest it, dry it, and sell it.
Right. And
did you find that out?
There's quite a bit of that going on. Yeah, that people, some, since it's a high-paying commodity and things, some people come in believing that you just plant the seed and harvest it and go to the bank.
Right.
Well, if you've been involved in agriculture, it's a little more involved in all the process.
Well, yeah, you have to have all those steps, right?
All of those steps. Yeah. And there's been a lot of people that kind of fell on their face because they weren't all the way as involved in it.
Which step did most people miss?
I think the ability to grow it was a lot of it.
But, really?
But having a market for it when you're done and that type of thing is pretty important.
Well, yeah, you have to have a buyer lined up, right?
Lined up. And since it's a new crop and it was newly legal, it was hugely overproduced. So if you didn't have a buyer, you were kind of left out in the cold.
Yeah.
So which is true of a lot of these crops.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Right? Just about anything. A farmer has to know he's got a market for what he's selling.
Yeah.
And yeah, so I would think it would be, well, I'm going to plant it and it's going to grow like a weed, right?
Yeah.
And then somebody has to process it into a sellable product.
Yes.
A safe and sellable product. And then you have to have a distribution. It's one of those waves about agriculture that we're trying to make a point on, is that this affects companies. It's not just the farmer, but it's transportation sector. It's packaging sector.
Yeah.
Right? Yes. It's chemical sector. It is a lot of different things that it's the banking sector and the lending sector. And it affects so much having to do with our economy. It's almost impossible to overstate it.
Yes. Yeah, we have a huge impact on the economy, and we're wedged in all kinds of places. And unfortunately, a lot of times our local politicians aren't aware of how important that we are.
Well, Paul, we're talking to Paul Thorpe, by the way, the Oregon Farm Bureau out here at the Northwest Ag Show. How much of the job of the Oregon Farm Bureau is to educate? Two questions in that, the public and also the politicians.
We do a lot of to the public. We have, get involved in AgFest is one of the things that we do that gets us to a lot of the urban people directly that way. We also try to do a lot of stuff in the classroom and things to help get the students understanding that it isn't just the environmental viewpoint that about these things. But we also do a lot of legislative education. We have publications and stuff that we work with the legislatures directly with and things. And that can be challenging at times.
So when you first got involved, you said like 30 years ago?
Yeah.
Holy cow. Were you in Polk County at the time?
Yeah.
So Polk County, wow, Farm Bureau 30 years ago. And now, obviously, there's some members of county Farm Bureaus that involved in the state, as are you.
Right.
So you talked before the we went on the air about that you are involved in the health and safety. And so I want to hear a little bit about that, because is farming, here's my question, is farming a dangerous industry?
It's a pretty dangerous industry. It's right up there in the top five. And so it's a lot of it's because we work with so much machinery and under time constraint restrictions, it's pretty dangerous, but it's gotten a lot better in the last few years. Yeah, I mean, you know, when I was a kid, most of the farmers would be missing fingers or maybe a hand or an arm or something like that from the machinery and stuff they were dealing with.
Wow.
And you don't see that nearly as often anymore, fortunately.
Wow.
Well, okay. Yeah. So know, little mishaps here and there. Yeah, I can see that.
So health and safety of the people who work in the industry, who own the farms and ranches and handle the machinery, but also surrounding area as well.
Right.
Because you have to look after the safety of people who are neighbors of agriculture.
Exactly.
Right. Yes. Is that a big issue that comes up politically public perception?
Public perception on spraying and a lot of things like that are issues, and dust sometimes is an issue. The big thing is roadways. We move a lot of equipment around, so that's an issue. We do advertisements with you guys on road safety with the farm machinery to try and make people aware that we have to move it and that it's not always safe to pull off the road with a big piece of machinery.
Well, yeah, you can end up in the ditch. Oof.
Yeah.
Yeah. Those big balloon tires sometimes.
Personally, I like to eat.
Yeah, so me too.
Let these guys do their job, right? And be a couple minutes late. People understand. Okay, I'm going to ask you a funny question here. We get new crops of decision makers, policy makers. Maybe it's a county commissioner. Maybe it's a state legislator. Fortunately, it's not AOC here in Oregon. Right. No. But people have to come in with little to no knowledge about agriculture. What is the topic that someone starts talking about something and they're talking out the side of their head that you're like, oh, my gosh, I have to explain this again? What is the one that people just really don't get?
I don't know. That, you know, you really have to take care of the crop. I mean, it's not just something you plant and harvest. You have to take care of it. You have to have a plan that you understand that you have markets for it, or and that weather is a factor. And the political side is a big factor in it, too, I think.
So, because one thing that's not good for business, and this is agribusiness, is uncertainty.
Yeah.
You want to talk about something that's going to kill opportunities for investment, expansion, you know, all of these things and growth is if there's uncertainty, people do not want to jump in.
Yes.
Right. But
unfortunately, when a big cash crop like hemp comes in, that we get a lot of influx of people that seem to think that they know it all and jump into places that gets them in trouble and things. And we'd rather not see that. We'd rather see it kept kind of smooth and level. And the hemp thing was a big moneymaker for 1 year, and it's going to probably fall for a while, but it'll level out.
Yeah, the market will correct itself.
It'll correct itself.
Did you have a lot of people calling you and saying, hey, I'd like to get into this business. How do I do it?
A little bit, yeah.
You had some people call you? That
I have.
Good first step right there.
I remember when I was in the gasoline business, and every single year, every legislative session, we had to re-educate people on self-serve gasoline. How it came to pass, how the ban of self-serve came into pass, what the real issues are, what's in the, all of these things, and going back and back and forth, and people just didn't get, had to explain the economics, had to understand all that stuff. So I imagine it's probably even more so in the ag industry, as diverse as it is.
Yeah, the diversity complicates things a lot. And we have troubles with, we've been having troubles with some of the crops that people want to grow, like canola and things, interfering with other crops and things. So we start getting farmer to farmer challenges now that are, and even, you know, somebody wants to grow something that has a negative effect on something they're growing across the fence.
Okay.
And so that has to be worked out. And they've been trying to do it through legislation. Personally, I'd rather see it done through trade organizations or something along those lines.
Yeah, nobody ain't got time for that. No. Come on now.
Yeah, so Oregon Farm Bureau and Polk County Farm Bureau, Marion County Farm Bureau, advocacy membership organizations that have helped to educate, help to mitigate conflict and so forth, and advocate. Thanks for being with us, Paul Thorpe. We're going to have to take a break. We appreciate you taking a break from your booth here at the Ag Show. So go back and do your job and help educate all the people here about the role of agriculture in the area.
Well, thank you guys for having your programming.
That was Paul Thorpe. We got to take a break. This is Brent DeHart with Dave Bourne. Stick with us. Come right back. We've got more interviews from the Northwest Ag Show at the Columbia Hall. This is 1430 KYKN. Salem's listening.
Now back to Lynn Benton Tractor's Newsmakers with Brent DeHart and Dave Bourne. Presented by Les Schwab Tires, live from the Northwest Ag Show on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
This segment of Newsmakers is proudly brought to you by Color Tile of Salem. Welcome back to the Northwest Agricultural Show for a special edition of Newsmakers. We're 2 hours today, and so that means Bill O'Reilly will be coming up at 2:04, not 1:04 this afternoon. Brent?
Well, it's nice to be out here. I tell you, last week they had the Home and Garden Show, right? That's always very expensive for me to come to. And now this show, this week, all about the agricultural sector. And we have joining us in our booth out here in the Columbia Hall, we have Brad Wilcox from Kubota. You are a factory rep, right? So you're the man that represents the people that manufacture this gear.
Yes.
Right? That's correct. So you have dealers, obviously dealers. I walked through the briefly through the exhibits, and there's a little bit of orange out here.
There's a lot of orange. We've got multiple dealers here representing our product.
Oh, so multiple dealers throughout the Mid-Valley.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. So you just sat down and we were talking in the break, and I wanted to bring this up. You were marking that you were surprised that people are traveling to the Mid-Valley to come to this event from all over.
Yes. The show used to be up in Portland, and we were kind of afraid moving it down here, we're going to lose a lot of people from out of the area. But we've still seen cranberry growers from Long Beach. We've seen blueberry growers and farmers from up around Battleground, Washington, some cattle ranchers from out in Baker area. So we're getting a good pull from the area, plus all the people from Willamette Valley.
I bet you, do you think you see any inclination that people are going to want to move the show back to the metro area?
I don't think so.
Good answer. Good answer. I like that. I like it when we poach things that should belong to us to begin with and out of the metro area and here in the Mid-Valley. So tell us a little bit about Kubota. What do you do there?
Regional sales manager, cover dealers and sales part of things throughout Oregon and Western Washington up to Puyallup area.
It seems like, Brad, that your industry is divided by colors. So I know what I'm seeing when I'm driving through the valley and I see an orange implement, right? And then there's green and there's blue and things like that. It's very distinctive. Is it a pretty competitive industry?
Very competitive industry.
So where is Kubota?
As far as the list.
Really? Where do they manufacture? I know there's a lot of different.
Sure. We manufacture tractors from our little subcompact tractors, from our BXs, clear on up to our M7s, 170 horsepower, 150 on a PTO. We're very strong in construction, mini excavators, track loaders, rubber tired skid steers. Also very heavy in the lawn and garden, commercial and homeowner. We also have our RTV line that crosses over many different industries. It's very popular.
So you said we can come to the show and we could find more than one dealer that sells Kubota here.
Yes.
So it's a good opportunity to come in and actually buy something. And
yes.
Walk away today. You can own this today.
Right? And we also have our company booth that has a variety of tractors in there that we've got salesmen working from a variety, variety of dealers throughout the valley.
Okay. So when it comes to the competition, what stands out for Kubota? What do you think? This is our competitive edge.
For one, is our dealer network. We have a very large network of strong independent dealers that compete against each other. So the end-use customer knows that our dealers are competitive. Mm-hmm. We don't have a monopoly on the valley, so they have to compete for the sales. The ownership of the dealerships are all very long-term. We have a lot of stable dealerships that send their mechanics to our factory service schools every year. Required minimum part stocking, they blow that away, so they have parts in stock. One thing in Oregon was we have a lot of strong, very strong independent dealers.
I think that's a good answer.
That's very healthy for us and the consumer.
We're talking to Brad Wilcox from Kubota, and that's a good answer. What's important to me to buy something is when you say strong dealer network is I have someone who can fix it,
mm-hmm.
right?
Yeah, or there's always that.
It's broken down and I need to fix it now and because I'm going to be gone next week or the rains are coming, whatever other reason, I need to fix now. It's nice to know that someone's going to have a part, right? Or is going to be able to answer the phone and help service this thing. For me, I mean, tonight, that's huge.
Yeah.
It's almost more important than the price tag.
It's like when you buy a new car. I mean, they sell you the shiny object and then, you know, they have to have that good service after the sale. Otherwise, they don't trust them when they go and they buy it and then they say, I don't like that. Let's go somewhere else.
What we like to say is marketing will help sell the first tractor and then parts and service will help to sell the second, third tractors.
Oh, very nice. All right. So the span of gear. I mean, I look at things and you know what these things are called. I don't even know how to envision what 170 horsepower is, right? So a homeowner with a decent sized lawn, you could find. Do they need an implement store or a home improvement store?
For
somebody just a decent sized lawn, but it's not in agriculture.
So we've got our traditional mowers, straddle sit-down mowers with a string wheel.
Okay.
And we also have our zero-turn mowers.
Oh, yeah.
So we can help those guys out. If they have a small city lot lawn, probably going to be going with a walk-behind. We do make some walk-behinds, but they're a commercial grade. They're heavier commercial grades. Probably not going to be a homeowner-style mower.
But all the way to land movers, right?
All the way to, you know, 150 PTO and construction equipment and excavators.
Wow. There is some amazing equipment out here. As soon as you walk in the door, you see your stuff. Mm-hmm. You want to give a quick shout out to your dealers who are in the Mid-Valley?
From Eugene North, we've got Mid-Valley Tractor in Eugene, Lynn Bent Tractor in Tangent, Rick Rail Farm Supply in Rick Rail, OVS in both in Hubbard and McMinnville. We have representatives from Moen Machinery out of Gresham. And then Pacific Tractor out of Hillsboro here.
All right, we're going to have to go. We're coming up on the top of the hour. Brad Wilcox from Kubota here at the Northwest Ag Show with Brent and Dave. Out, see all the toys. And maybe you get to sit on the Kubota and imagine what it's like to drive that thing.
Got another hour. We'll be right back.
This has been Lynn Benton Tractor's Newsmakers with Brent DeHart and Dave Bourne. Presented by Les Schwab Tires, live from the Northwest Ag Show. Live local talk that matters to you, exclusively on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.